Get off the X. Get off the X. For those who have served in the military, you probably have heard that slogan, get off the X. When we're talking about a life and death situation. This morning, I believe that God is bringing these themes of life and death, which really lies at the heart of the gospel. Christ's conquest, his victory over death. Get off the X. You see, the military uses that, at least in the special forces, as a way of saying in those times where you're in that potentially fatal situation under enemy fire. And if you remain in that situation, you're going to die. You're going to die. And so the maxim, the call is get off the X. Do something about it. React. Do something. Why am I bringing this metaphor today? Because I think it applies to our spiritual life. We are in the midst of battles. We are warriors. We need to remember that we are warriors for Christ. I think much of modern Christianity has gotten way too soft. Much of Christianity has been feminized, and it's great that there's a feminine nurturing element to it. But we also must remember that we are warriors, we are soldiers. We are in life and death battles. Life and death battles with the enemies because we have been joined to Christ. Get off the X. There is victory in what Christ calls us to. You see, that the problem in the world for all of us is the whole issue of death, that is being on the X, knowing that we are in the sights of the enemy, knowing that not only are we going to face biological death one day, but that we are always in peril of eternal death, the death of the soul, separation from God through our own sin, through our own rebellion. But in the gospel lesson this morning, Jesus, it's recorded in St. Luke chapter 7. It's one of my favorite accounts. I very often will use this gospel at funerals. It's one of three recorded resurrections that Jesus performed. Just one of three. I'm certain that there were other resurrections that are not specifically recorded in the gospel. But when Jesus was showing up to funerals, when he was showing up to tombs, we know that things kind of got turned around. And here he was in the city of Nain, a small city not far from where he grew up in northern Galilee. And this funeral procession was coming out of the city gate as Jesus and a throng of people were approaching the city of Nain. And this young man who had died was being carried in the King James says a bier. That's an old word which means coffin. He's being carried out in a coffin to be buried outside of the city gates, which was where the dead would be buried. And St. Luke tells us that he was the only son of a widow. Now, I couldn't imagine what it's like to even lose a child, let alone your only child. And not only that, but a woman who had also lost her husband. She was a widow. She was a woman, certainly, who was acquainted with grief. And now she was doing the unthinkable. She was burying her legacy, her only child. And no doubt she was grief-stricken. And as Jesus approached this funeral procession, he says to the woman, "Do not weep. Do not weep." And he touches the coffin and he says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." and the man rose from the dead. He sat up, and it says, the scripture says that Jesus gave him back to his mother. He was restored to life. Jesus brought life out of death, resurrection out of that which was dead. It was a harbinger of what Jesus would do for all of humanity. All of humanity who lived under the shadow of death, who lived under the curse of Adam. That he would, in his own death, bring about resurrection, bring about new life. And the people responded, glorifying God. And I love what they said at the very last verse. And God has visited his people. This is the visitation of God. God in the flesh, the promised Messiah, the coming Christ, who is now here in the flesh and blood, bringing and restoring life to a dead man. You see, this is really the essence of the gospel, that God has visited his people. And from death, he brings us to life. And yet, even in our faith, we have that tendency to be on the X. To be on the X when the enemy is shooting his fiery arrows and darts. When life has gotten tough. When we have become overcome with the tragedies and the pitfalls of this life, we can sometimes feel very defeated, very, very beaten down. And oftentimes we turn to our own means, our own resources, and trying to defend ourselves and trying to bring us to a place of salvation. And in the epistle lesson from this morning, St. Paul is addressing another warrior caste of people, the Galatians. Who are the Galatians? Well, the Galatians got their name from the Latin word, the Galli, or the Gauls. The Gauls were Celts who originally lived in the southern part of Central Europe and in the region of Austria, southern France. And in the year 279 BC, the Celts, who were a warring people, ended up waging a campaign against the Balkans. They ended up going all the way into Athens. And another group of them split off and they went over into the region of Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. And following the death of Alexander the Great, these Celtic people ended up being a ruling caste within the region of what is now modern-day Ankara, Turkey. They were Celts. And these Celtic warriors, these Celtic people, came to faith in Christ through Paul's missionary journeys. But they were people that had become seduced by the Judaizers. This was a heretical Christian group who said, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to follow all the dietary laws of Christ, or of Moses, of the Old Testament, the Torah. And because of their zealousness, their warrior spirit, they took this hook, line, and sinker. And so Paul is writing to the Galatians, these Celtic people, to say, no, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. He's saying you got to get off the X. Referencing the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians, Paul begins to say in verse 9, he said, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. St. Paul is saying, there's going to be days where some of you are going to be beaten down. You're going to be in need. You're going to be under attack. And at those moments, it's when the team needs to pull together. The unit of warriors need to come together. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to help one another get off the X. And he goes on to say in verse 11, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. I love that. He's saying, it's my own hand. It's not a scribe. I've written this letter to you in my own hand. As many as desire to make good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Paul is saying you are subverting the message of the gospel by listening to these Judaizers, these men who boast in your circumcision. Yes, you are Gentiles, but you are a new creation in Christ. If there is any boasting, let us boast in the cross of Christ. There was another warrior cast of people we know who were successful in conquering and civilizing most of the pagan world of that time, and we know they were the Romans. And the Roman people, like the Galatians, needed to be corrected by St. Paul. He basically needed to tell them, get off the X. Get off the X. And I want to read just briefly from the sixth chapter of St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Again, new creation, newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. For the life that he lives to God. And listen to what he says in verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How many of us, as we struggle with our own passions, our own rebellious spirit, our own pride, how many of us, as we're beaten down by the circumstances of life, begin believing that we are defeated? Begin believing that somehow my Christianity, my faith, has not brought any victory for me personally. And we can be there at the X. We can be in the sights of the enemy who continues to accuse, to tell us that we are defeated, that we're hypocrites, that there's no real victory. And we can live there. And if we live there, we shall surely die. We shall reap what Paul says is the seed and sowing the seeds of corruption. But St. Paul tells us, get off the X. Reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. And he closes out that chapter saying, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. Even as we continue to fall back in old habits, even as we can't continue to hear the accusations, to receive the fiery darts of the enemy, we need to learn to get off the X, to live a life of victory in Christ, being joined to him in his death, burial, and resurrection. Back on September the 12th, when I was at the Maryland Chiefs of Police, Maryland Sheriff's Association conference in Ocean City on that last evening of the conference, which was our installation banquet, I had the honor of hearing a keynote speaker by the name of Jason Redman. Jason was a lieutenant in the United States Army who'd served a SEAL team. And not only was he an elite member of the SEALs, but he was also a guy, after he had gotten his officer's commission, that the Navy thought it would be a good idea to send him to U.S. Army Ranger School. So he had been to SEAL school and gotten his trident. And then upon receiving his commission, he also went to U.S. Army Ranger School. This was the toughest of the tough. And his unit, his SEAL team, in 2007 was sent into Fallujah, Iraq. They were going to either capture or take out a particular high-level Al-Qaeda operative. And during that mission, Lieutenant Jason Redman took machine gun fire. In fact, he got hit 7 times by machine gun. The first burst of fire ended up hitting him in his left elbow, nearly severing his arm completely off. It was literally just hanging by tendons and a little bit of flesh, his bone completely shattered. And then he took another round into the right cheek of his face, the bullet exiting out through his nose, completely obliterating his nose. And when he dropped to the ground, he said his last thought was, I must be a wimp. I must be a wimp that I fell down by taking a few gunshots. And shortly after that, he passed out. What was on that same day, on September the 12th in 2007, that he arrived at the Bethesda Naval Hospital. A man that should have probably died. Not only ended up living, but after some 37 surgeries, 1,200 stitches and staples and skin grafts and trying to rebuild his face and his nose, Jason Redman not only lived, but he is now a motivational speaker. He's an author who's written a book, Trident, and another book, Overcome, that is overcoming adversity. And as I listened to him, I heard him use that metaphor, get off the X. Get off the X. And as I listened to him tell his story of developing a t-shirt business for wounded veterans, because he said when he, after his injuries and after he was back in the public light, and of course he was disabled, he could no longer serve in the active military, he'd received a Purple Heart and Bronze Star. People would often ask him, were you in a car accident or a motorcycle accident? And it made him bitter because people didn't realize that his wounds were from combat service. And so he started wearing a t-shirt that said, quit staring, I was shot by a machine gun that would have killed you. But as I listened to his story, the inspirational message that he gave, get off the X, I decided that as I closed out the banquet that evening as the chaplain for the association, I publicly thanked Jason. And I said, while you were telling that story, I couldn't help but to think of that metaphor of the X. I said, one of the most ancient Christian symbols is that of the X that is carved in the catacombs, the X being representative of the cross. Also the monogram for Christos in Greek, the first letter of the word Christ. I said that 2,000 years ago, there was another man who got off the X, who came off the cross. Jesus Christ defeated death. And as a result, that cross became a symbol, not of defeat, but of victory. Not of death, but of life. And so let us remember. Let us join together every Mass in remembering, being encouraged and nourished in the very body and blood of Christ, who paid that price, who gave himself at the X, at the cross, so that you and I might have eternal life. That's the whole essence of the gospel. So let us not go forth as those who are defeated, but those who have gotten off the X, who live in the victory of life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.